Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on spiritual warfare.
Welcome to the program once again today, and we have been looking at the subject of spiritual warfare all this week, and today we're going to be looking at the origin of demons. There's primarily four different views on the origin of demons or where they have come from. One such view is that they are the spirits of deceased evil people. And this was actually the view of Josephus and Philo, and as well as some early Christian writers and the ancient Greeks. The problem with this viewpoint is that it just doesn't compare to Scripture, because the Bible is clear that when evil people die, they go into Hades after death, as found in Luke chapter 16, verse 23. But that's more of a pagan idea that has crept into the church or crept into the minds of some people within the church. The second viewpoint is that they are spirits of a pre-Adamic race. This is primarily based on the idea that there was a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And in between that point, God created a race and then brought his judgment upon them, brought his destruction upon them, and death was a result, and that the original creation fell, and that now those spirits are the demons. The problem with this viewpoint is that it depends upon a creation of humanity prior to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, and there just seems to be no biblical evidence for this viewpoint. I know some do hold to this point, but it just doesn't seem to be as strong or as obvious as you read the Bible. It's clear that the first person created was Adam, and then along came his wife Eve. But theologically, there's a problem with this as well, because that means there was death before Adam's sin. And that would be in direct contradiction to what Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where he says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sin." So Paul links up death with the fact that Adam sinned. So you can't have death before sin coming into the world, because sin is what brought death. So that viewpoint is not consistent with Scripture. One that's probably a little more prominent is that they're actually offsprings of angels and women, especially focusing there in Genesis chapter 6, which is a chapter where there's been much controversy and much discussion, I would admit. And it reads this way: "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants, or the Nephilim, on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." It is an accepted interpretation in the church that what is happening here is that the sons of God is actually a reference to angels, which the book of Job does use it that way, and here these angels had sexual relationships with the daughters of men, with women, and there was the offspring were the Nephilim, or the giants. And so that is a viewpoint that some people hold. Now, the weakness of this viewpoint is that the sons of God refers to angels. This could be challenged, this could be debated, and the term sons of God does not have to refer to angels. Actually, Adam is referred to as a son of God. So the term doesn't necessarily mean angels. You would have to determine the context. The second part is the phrase that these sons of God took wives for themselves. Usually, the phrase that the sons of God took wives for themselves refers to marriage relationships, and never in the Old Testament does it refer to an illicit sexual relationship. Kyle and Dalich, in their commentary on the Old Testament, point that out, that this term is not used to describe some sort of perverted sexual relationship, but the normal, natural relationship of a man marrying a woman. And then the Nephilim, the ones that existed, were not demons, but were rather probably heroes or fierce warriors, because we see them also after the flood in the book of Joshua, they're in the land once again. So that viewpoint has some problems and some weaknesses. And as you read Genesis chapter 6, or really you read the entire Bible, it just seems kind of very unusual to come up with the idea that demons had sexual relationships with women, and then the offspring were this super race, and then that would be the reason God brought the flood. It's kind of an interesting theory, but it just doesn't seem to be the natural reading of the passage. And in a study later on in one of our programs, we'll deal specifically with Genesis chapter 6, because many people have questions on this passage. The fourth viewpoint, and probably one that is the most common, is that demons are fallen angels. This is a view which is held by Hodge, Strong, G. Campbell Morgan, Gabling, Unger, as well as many other conservative scholars. And basically, this is the viewpoint that holds that when Satan rebelled against God, a bunch of lower-ranking angels followed him. Lucifer, now called Satan, is described as the ruler of the demons. Matthew 12, verse 24 reads this way. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Also, Matthew 25, verse 41 refers to the devil and his angels. And then Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 mentions the dragon and his angels. So it's pretty clear in Scripture that Satan is the ruler of these fallen angels. And that is the most likely understanding from Scripture of the origin of demons, that they are those that rebelled with Lucifer against God, and God removed him from his presence. And now Satan has set up his kingdom, which is trying to be opposed to the kingdom of God. And interesting, as you read through the Scripture, that there's actually two groups of fallen angels. One of the groups of these angels, which we would call demons, are free and active in the world, and that's often the reason there is so much evil in the world, is the activity of demonic spirits. But also, there's another group of fallen angels that are actually, at this point, confined. They're being held. And there's four references that bring this point out. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 points this out, where it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." And this word hell is the Greek word Tartarus, which basically relates to that place of captivity, of darkness, that God has held these demonic spirits. It seems that these angels that are held in Tartarus are so evil and wicked that God is holding them captive so that they are not able to bring about their evil influence upon humanity. Jude verse 6 also seems to support this idea, which reads, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So here's some demons, some fallen angels, that are held captive, will never be released until that day of judgment. So these must be some wicked, evil spirits that God has not, by his sovereignty, allowed to come upon the face of the earth. There's another group of demonic spirits that will actually be released during the tribulation period, as described in Revelation chapter 9, verses 3 through 11. And these demonic spirits are going to inflict pain upon people. They're going to come out of the bottomless pits, or the abyss. This is also suggested in Luke 8:31, where, if you remember the story where Jesus cast out a number of demons out of an individual, where it says their name was Legion because they were many. Well, the demons begged the Lord, they talked with him, and they said this in Luke 8:31, and they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. So here, there's a place where these demons didn't want to go, didn't want to be commanded to go to the abyss. That's the same place that we're going to read about in Revelation chapter 9, where these demonic spirits are going to come out during the tribulation period and inflict pain upon those who do not have the mark of God upon their forehead. And Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 reads this way, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit," or to the abyss. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them." So as we read that description, I think we could all praise God that there are these evil, wicked demons that are able to do this sort of thing, that are being confined in the abyss. And praise God, he's going to keep them there until the tribulation period. And he will release them for a short time, and they will inflict this pain upon men. It'll be like the pain that a scorpion brings, and it'll last for 5 months. It'll be so painful and so deadly that men are going to want to seek death but will not be able to find it. Also, verse 10 of Revelation 9 says, "They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Apollyon." And both of those words basically mean destroyer or destruction. And then it says, "One woe is past, but still two more woes are coming after these things." So during the tribulation period, God is going to release these demons that are held captive in the abyss, and they're going to come out and inflict this pain. In summary, the Bible seems to indicate that the origin of all demons are fallen angels who rebelled with Lucifer. Also, there's a second class of fallen angels that are being held captive right now, most likely due to the fact that they are so evil and so wicked that if God let them loose, they'd bring about more destruction and pain and evil than God is allowing at the present time. But during the tribulation period, according to Revelation chapter 9, they will be released for a short time to inflict pain upon those who do not have the mark of God. I encourage you to go back to the scriptures and analyze these truths based on the Word of God.